And you're listening to the Texas Standard. Bills, 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 right? We've got them. So do you, probably, and so does Texas. Now, they're not to be afraid of if you can manage them. Miss some payments, take on more debt than is healthy. Your credit score goes down, interest rates go up, and suddenly, debt can get overwhelming and fast. Right now, Texas has the best credit rating there is, AAA, so it's less expensive for the state to borrow money, makes for a more hospitable business environment, and the like. But Texas Comptroller Glenn Hager has just issued a warning, and it's a warning about the state's credit rating. Comptroller Hager, welcome back to the Texas Standard.
It's good to be with you again.
Are you afraid that the state's credit rating might get downgraded?
Well, one of the points I wanted to make here today is that if you look in the out years, in other words, every legislative session, the legislature comes in town, they put together a two-year budget, and they always try to make some positive steps towards whether it's road infrastructure, schools, making sure we have a health and human service system, our pension system. However, one of the things that we've seen, at least since I've been in office over the last several years, is that we're not quite keeping up the ground that we need to. Thus, the warning yesterday that I was talking in combination with our economic stabilization fund or our state savings account, how we need to reform the way we manage that. And if we do, it would provide one more tool in the toolbox that doesn't exist today for a revenue stream for the legislature to deal with our long-term liabilities.
I see what you're saying.
If we do not pay attention to our long-term liabilities, then I pointed out yesterday very clearly that I think sometime in the near future, Texas could see a downgrade in our credit rating.
Okay, now when you talk about the state savings account, are you talking about the so-called rainy day fund?
That is correct.
Okay. And how much are we talking about? Last time I checked, it was in the $8 to $10 billion range, something like that?
Today, it has $11 billion in it.
Okay.
And thankfully, because of oil and gas revenues, you know, Texas has roughly half of all the oil and natural gas rigs operating in North America. So we have a vibrant economy, and that's how money comes into it. It's the oil and gas severance tax, and that's what feeds the Economic Stabilization Fund, or the Rainy Day Fund, as many know it.
I want to be clear now. Where's that rainy day money being held? Is it not being invested?
That's the point that I've kind of talked about ever since I came into office, that when I first got into office, the entire balance of that rainy day fund is what we would call sitting in the treasury pool, which in other words, that means it's just really an overnight cash. And so the point, what that means is that I'm not able, and my office is not able, to earn enough interest to cover what the inflationary cost of that money is. So in other words, next year, since we can't earn enough interest on it, that means that next year the purchasing power of that money has gone down.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the points I've made to the legislature. But also, with a fund that large, if we took a portion of it and stuck it over in what's in kind of what's an endowment type structure, like we do at universities, or we have, say, for example, in Texas, we have what's called the permanent school fund. We also have the university funds, and those were set up many years ago, and they have grown over time. And by that growth over time,
mm-hmm.
that fund would continue to grow, which means when the oil patch goes dry again, which it will in some point in the future, the Economic Stabilization Fund or the Rainy Day Fund would continue to exist, and the legislature would have an opportunity to tend to our long-term balance sheet issues, pensions, for example,
uh-huh.
and some others, which are putting pressure on our credit rating to be able to resolve those issues before that crisis comes in the future.
But right now, is this any time, is this any market, is this any sort of environment to be making investments? I mean, right now, just look at Wall Street and how a lot of people are warning that it's overheated,
What you do is that you don't try to put all the money and invest it in day one when it's a high market. You know, markets are something that's a long term. There are highs and there are lows. We have endowment dollars that my office is in charge of, whether it's the tobacco settlement dollars that were received many years ago,
mm-hmm.
whether it's our water infrastructure fund money that we received several sessions ago to help with water infrastructure in the state. And so you don't try to invest it all at once. You time it very strategically, and because you're looking at it over many decades, you're not trying to look at making a return today. And we hedge on the side of being defensive, which in other words, we want to make sure we mitigate our risk because we're not trying to hit what some would call a grand slam.
Now, we're out of time, but I have to ask about this, Comptroller, because I think a lot of listeners are going to say, okay, well, So far, so good. I mean, the money's not invested, and we may be losing a little bit, but at least, you know, it's in a place we know it's safe. What's the consequence for everyday normal Texans if indeed this money just sits as is?
Well, the consequence is in years out, as we see the state of Texas not quite keeping up with some of our long-term liabilities, we're going to see a downgrade in our state's credit rating because there are not enough revenue streams to be able to tend to those issues. And this is one that can tend to that issue, and it can grow over time and be there for future generations to come.
Texas Comptroller Glenn Hager, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to speak with us on the Texas Standard.
Great to be with you today. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.